Silva, you absolutely suck.
Ireland, baby, we did it. Yeah. Welcome along to Obviously Fight Talk episode 41. We're older than me now at this stage and I won't be catching it up, but I'm joined, as always, by hashtag win decision, Mr. Robert Pallin.
Hello.
Missing in action this week, we have big crazy daddy Carl Dirty Doran. It's the longest
it's getting,
name.
It's getting longer and longer.
Carl's not with us this week. He will be back, though, as normal. And Daniel Mulvihedy, of course, he's building something or breaking something down or at some sort of gathering. So you're just going to have to listen to the intimate recordings of myself and Mr. Robert Pallin. So we are brought to you in the beautiful Whiskey Fair. If you want some great food and a great pint, check it out in Dunleary. Not to be missed. And then, as always, in association with MMAMix.com for all your MMA needs. They're obviously good.
Because it would obviously Fight Talk.
Beautiful. And then what's the other one called?
What's the other one called?
Fight Star Ireland. For all your fighter needs, check them out. The fighter's choice and everything that a fighter needs and under one roof. So let's get it on. This week, we're going a little different. We're not going to do, there's so much happened this week, Rob, that we're not going to do it. Quick fire news, topics, so much. I think we have about 14 or 15 things that we're going to speak about. So we might spend 5 minutes on one thing. We might spend 15 minutes on the other. So strap yourself in, put the seatbelt on, and get ready. So we're going to call it quick fire news, as we always do, but we're not. It's just on the sud head, and I'm like Ron Burgundy. I say what I read. So some Bellator announcements this week, as fight announcements are coming thick and fast. The standout fight announcement must be Re-Skeletor McKee getting a shot at the vacant Lonsdale Bama title. He takes on Jay Herbert for the strap. So this is, Reese has been on with us a good few times now, and we all sort of chat to Reese when we're at the shows and stuff. And we like the guy as well, but he's 4-0. He's already putting his hashtag up of 5-0. I think this is the right time, isn't it, from Bama? And it's a good stage as well. As much as it's the 3 arena again, the fact that it's Bellator as well, that has to be a huge opportunity for Reese as well.
I only noticed that you wrote Bamator.
Yeah.
I only noticed that. You were sitting here with that in front of you. Yeah, like, we spoke to Reese how many times on the show? I think 3 or 4 times. You know Reese quite well from the other shows. But every time you speak to him, he's a nice guy. But he also knows how to talk. He knows how to promote a fight. Like, after his last win, straight away he was calling a shot. He's telling me what he wanted, either a title shot, a UFC shot. He wants something big. And based on what he's done in the cage so far, you can't really disagree with him getting the title shot, really.
No. Like, everything he's done in Bama has been highlight reel.
Yeah.
His one fight outside of Bama was also a highlight reel. It was a finish in the second round. Do you know what I mean? He's like a kid who was never being fed eating his dinner. He finishes it every fucking time. There's no messing. We lasted how long without a course? We tried to go this week without a course. So he does everything spectacular. Like, when you meet Reese, he's such a soft-spoken guy, and he's a nice guy, and you would not think he's the killer he is.
No.
But he's the perfect example of that switch. He's so dedicated to the sport. And I'm just delighted for him. It's a great chance. Like, he's getting a shot at the vacated belt by Mark Tiakasi. He's obviously over in the UFC now. So again, you know, it's a good path to get on and follow. I have to be honest, Joy Herbert, I don't know much about him. I haven't seen a lot of his fights, so I'm going to have to do a little bit more review, get me Robin Black on, and sit in and watch a few of his fights. There was other fight announcements as well. You've got Richard Coyle taking on Keith the Butcher McCabe. Keith has been very active lately as well. You've Kiefer Crosby, was scheduled to fight in the last BAM, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, He got injured, so hopefully he stays fit for this one.
Big time, yeah. He's taking on Conor Reardon. And then this is a nice fight as well. Andy Lofthouse taking on Primal or SBG Charlestown, whatever way you want to say it. Ian Cleary, great fighter there in Ian. I like Ian as well. It was very big on the amateur scene here.
Do you reckon that BAM are taking care of all the local stuff? You'd assume so, wouldn't you? Based on the experience that they have with the local fighters. I think that's probably the route they're taking. You'd have Bellator probably working on some of the bigger fights with their fighters and getting that in order, and then Bama really know the...
Yeah, well, I think what's happening, I think the idea with the show is obviously it's almost going to be two shows. As much as we're all calling it Bama Tour, it seems by the fighting, and I don't think it was officially announced that way, but as far as I'm concerned, it's like a Bama card and then Bellator's on after it.
They might structure the way they have the Bellator kickbox and Bellator MMA shows, the way they have two kind of separate events.
I wonder what the cage is going to be.
Yeah.
Because Bellator is a round cage, isn't
round
it?
Round cage, yeah.
So I wonder if it's going to be the Bama cage.
I never thought
about
that, yeah.
What do they call it? Do they call it a ring cage or what do they call
I think
it?
They call it cage.
Cage, yeah. So yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I suppose it doesn't really matter. Like, we make, us who don't fight, make a bigger deal out of these
which
things
cage
than fighters.
Use,
like,
yeah.
Did you think the round cage will affect you? Whatever. Yeah. You know, I just want to fight. I stopped myself. so like, What you were saying there about the local fighters, I do think that's Bama again being clever. Do you know what I mean? They're going to give, like, I go on about it a lot here, the array of young talent in this country.
Yeah.
And that's what Bama are doing. They're giving, like, you look Reese now fighting for the title. There's no reason why the likes of your Kiefer Crosby or your Ian Cleary, or obviously their opponents, Conor Reardon or Andy Lofthouse, why they couldn't be in two or three fights be fighting for the Bama strap. Do you know what I mean? And you see it now. It's same with Cage Warriors. Like, Cage Warriors, you look at the amount of European fighters and they're coming from Cage Warriors or Bama. So to get on this card for the local Dublin lads or Irish lads is huge. And it's the right path to the big time, you know?
One thing I wonder is the way Bama do it, it seems like they have 18 to 20 fights per card.
Yeah.
Bellator don't really do that. They keep it around 13 and 12, similar to a UFC. So I wonder if they're going to go that route, or because it's a combination of both, they're kind of going to have to be forced to do a few more fights.
I'd say, and again, no disrespect to anyone fighting on Bama, but it's because it's not Bama's huge. Like, but again, you know, Bellator, let's be honest, it's a more known name than Bama at the moment. But two of them together, I'd imagine Bellator is going to be... The Bellator would be like the pay-per-view, if you like, on a card. When you're watching the UFC, it's the main card.
I think
Bama would be the prelims, if you like.
In a way, yeah.
Again, and that's not... Yeah, obviously, Bama are putting together a fantastic card. But the likes of, like, Eve King Mo fighting, you'll have James Gallagher is fighting.
Yeah.
So, like, they'll be the main events of it. Even though Bama's main event is phenomenal, Tom Dukinwah and Alan Philpott to unify the belts, like that's amazing fight, like, you know what I mean? That's something I'm interested in. It's a crazy fight. It's a huge opportunity for Alan Philpott fighting who I consider probably the best fighter outside
the UFC. Like, when you think about it, it's a huge, huge opportunity because this is a big time show. Like, people who haven't seen, like, there's a lot of people in the US now who will know Dukinwah. They might not have seen him enough, an awful lot, but they
especially
know
now that he's out of Greg Jackson's.
Yeah, and I mean? And there's people talking about him. Like, there was talk of him going to the UFC last year. So it's a huge opportunity for Dukinwah as well, to be fair, because he hasn't really got that stage yet.
But he spoke about it as well, that he's fighting Philpott, and he knows it's going to be difficult fighting Philpott in Ireland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He knows he's going to have to turn up and do the job. Like, if you look at him when he fought Lochnan that time, like, there was a great Manchester presence in the crowd fight as well.
Yeah.
And he barely got over the line, and that I questionably thought Lochnan won that fight.
It was a very close fight.
I was screaming for five rounds.
Yeah, still don't understand it. I'm assuming that's going to be changed with Bellator.
Yeah.
It has to be.
I would imagine Bellator is my main event.
Bellator would push five.
I'd imagine Bellator will still go under. I wonder they're like the UFC when they fight outside of the States and
they regulate themselves. They still go under the same rule set.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Bad announcement was that Paul Redmond had to pull out of his fight.
He's had some seriously bad luck.
So that was a huge opportunity again for Paul. He's signed exclusively. If you like, he did sign a multi-fight deal with Bama, but Bama were allowing the fight on the Bellator side of things, and that would have been like, you speak to Redzer or you read articles about Redzer, and like, he didn't feel like, when I was interviewing him after his win in the three arena, he felt he didn't get a raw deal. You know what I mean? I liked his attitude towards
100%.
But like, when this was a big opportunity and injury strikes, and It's cat because you'd love to see it. But Reza, is it, like, he's only young. He'll fight his way back up there. And, you know, what's that expression? What's meant to be won't pass your boy or something like that. So, you know, his time will come again. Getting a bit hippie-ish there and all. But again, it was confirmed as well that James Gallagher is taking on Anthony Davis on that Bellator end of the card that night. So it's certainly a night we're all looking forward to. Hopefully we'll be there. Obviously, Fight Talk will be there. But yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more fight announcements as well. Rhys McKee did sign a exclusive multi-fight deal with BAM as well. So he's nailed down with BAM. I believe a few more, like to Brian Moore, signed a multi-fight deal as well. Moving on to our next piece was Cage Legacy took place on Friday evening in the packed out TLT Theatre in Drogheda. And it did not disappoint. The main event was an instant classic and an absolute war. Peter Queeley took the judges' decision after three hard-fought rounds against Decky Dalton. So I watched it back on YouTube. I heard a lot of people talking about it. Some people thought it could have been stopped in the second round. So, you know, when you start to know that and you're going in to watch it.
Yeah, I think that does affect you when you go in to watch it. I haven't watched the fight yet. I'll put my hands up and say I haven't. But I have great heard fight. It was a close, great fight. Close fight.
Peter came out first round. Peter Queeley'd the round, got in, landed some good solid leg kicks, worked his way, got it to the ground, got Decky's back. Decky was defending the majority of the first round, defending his neck. Quilly was constantly working for it. Good defense by Dalton, but it was a dominant first round by Peter Queeley. The second round started off, they had a nice exchange with another, and Queeley went for the takedown, and Decky Dalton sort of reversed it and got into a sort of side, he was sort of in half side control, if you know what I mean. He was still stuck in half guard a little bit, but stayed in that position and landed some big, big shots. Queeley, you could see Andy Ryan, who was the referee, sort of said, you know, you're going to have to better position. And as soon as Andy Ryan said that, you'd seen Queeley move, and he did. In fairness, I think I've seen fights get stopped. I think that's the best way of saying this. I have seen fights get stopped in that position at amateur level. Mm. At professional level, I think they're given a little more allowance because they know they can be waiting, and you could see it. There was a time where Decky, he was raining down, and he landed maybe five shots. Now, Queeley was sort of turtled and he was protecting.
Yeah.
And when he, let's say, it was almost like he was timing Decky's shots, and as soon as he drew back to hit another one, Queeley exploded to change positions, you know what I mean? So for me, watching it, he'd done enough for it not to be stopped.
What about Tenney?
See, this new rule set is like, the first round you could argue Tenney because he was dominant, but you could also say, well, Decky defended brilliantly on the ground, but he was dominated on the ground.
It's not really a science, though. Like,
no, it's, do you know what? Like, 10-9 for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Possible 10-8. You could argue them.
You could argue them. Yeah.
You could argue.
Wouldn't
them.
Be scandalous, like if if they went 10.
But I have to give credit to Decky after the first round. He came out and put on a super display in the second round, and then that credit I just gave to Decky goes straight back to Peter Queeley, because Peter took some ships from heavy punishment in that second round. Had a bad cut under the eye, under the left eye, I think it was. But like I said, every time Andy Ryan instructed him to move, he moved. And then they came out third round, and they exchanged a little, and it got to the ground, and Queeley grounded out. So for me, some people said, oh, they thought Decky won. For me, I think it was the right decision. Great fight. I'd watch it again. Like, it was a really good fight. But hopefully Decky stays active. I love watching Decky down fight. Just, I love his style, but also I love that harrowing chant from the crowd. Decky's going to get you. It's deadly.
Yeah.
But it was a great performance by both fighters. And by all accounts, I'm going to watch back the majority of the card. But a great show in Cage Legacy.
Good luck for Decky as well, because for everybody I talked to, that it was close.
Yeah.
It could have went either way.
Yeah.
So it's a good look, like, against a guy who was, you know,
He was a couple of visa issues away from the UFC. So it was a good fight. Now, I know no fighter likes hearing a good fight when they've lost, but you know, Decky, I certainly hope he stays active and keeps fighting MMA, because like I said, I really like his style as well. Just with Cage Legacy, they have announced Cage Legacy 2, and that will take place on March the 18th of 2017. So again, this looks like, by all accounts, I've seen John Kavanagh and Andy Ryan and Dino Wade all speaking very highly of the show, just on social media, obviously, and you know, the whole Safe MMA side of things, the IMA there, everything went great. So it was a great night. Congratulations! I think that was the first South of Ireland in a cage, professional with pro MMA. If I'm right, pro MMA. I know the CRC that had amateur MMA. Fights. So yeah, I think that was the first one. I think I could be wrong.
I think you might be. What? No.
No, I think I'm right.
Pro, South. Pro.
Yeah, South.
Bama.
Yeah, never mind. Well, regional show.
Regional show.
Yeah. We'll edit that.
I think.
Yeah, so great to see it. And another good promotion on the horizon for fighters to get the opportunity to fight here, both in Ireland. So great stuff. UFC 205 apparently has broke the Madison Square Garden gate record previously held by Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis back in 1999, for you young pups who can remember that fight. But this was, according to president of the UFC, Dana White. If this is true, it also means it's broke its own record, as in the UFC's own record that was held previously by Georges St-Pierre and Jake Shields. So, yeah, you can see it, though. They're selling weigh-in tickets on Done Deal.
Yeah. I think the
weigh-in tickets.
Yeah, that's mad. That's another feather in the cap for Conor, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, to be fair to everybody else in the card, it's an amazing card, but the way MMA works, or the way even any kind of combat sport works, whoever's in the main event's going to get that credit.
Yeah.
So Conor will get that credit, and he does deserve a lot of it, but I think they put up just such an amazing card that it's something there for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many people from work that I know who are going over. People that don't know MMA. Yeah,
like
people
that are,
who don't watch it
very
much.
Caught up in the high train. It's amazing.
Like,
yeah.
I know a guy, or like I know of a guy who watched the press conference, and he was like, yeah, I'm going. And went, bought his tickets and went.
That's insane.
Or he's gone. So it's insane. But like, the whole record beating Evander, like, that was a huge fight back in the day.
Yeah, that was the two of the best at the time. They were the two best boxers probably on the planet.
Exactly. And, and if you also look at if they're breaking their own record, which was the one GSP Shields was like 50,000
seats. It was in Toronto, wasn't it?
Toronto, 50,000 seats. Yeah. Madison Square Garden, how big is that? That's small.
It's
less than 15,000.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine the price of the tickets for that event compared to the Toronto card. Which is just crazy to think of. Like, there must be fucking a couple of grand for a decent seat.
And I'd say, like, as well, the new owners of the UFC are absolutely loving this. They're only in. They're sacking everybody, and yet there's a huge show coming up. So, like, it doesn't. You mentioned with Conor. I read an article there, something like in the last year, 25% of pay per views have been accredited to Conor McGregor, which is, like, insane.
I think he's the only man to, like, break a million, like three events on a million pay-per-view in a year, something like that. It's ridiculous.
Do you know what it is? I remember, you probably don't remember Howard Stern. Do you know Howard Stern?
Yeah.
There's as in the radio doctor jock, but back when he was on the radio
still
show.
Gone.
Yeah, I know, but you're young.
Not that young.
There was a thing done about him years ago, and it was like the radio station wanted it. It was actually in his movie. I remember that. What was the movie called? Oh, great movie.
Private Parts,
yeah. But there was this was a legit story. They were like, how many people listen? Well, the people who like listening to them listen to the show for an average of like 11 minutes or something. And they go, well, that's incredible. And they go, yeah, what about the people who don't like it? And they go, yeah, this is where it gets weird. People who don't like listening to them listen for 14 minutes on average. And like,
what's
the reason? And they're like, just to hear what he says next. And that was the reason for both of them, like why you like him and why you dislike him. And that's what happens with Conor McGregor. People love Conor McGregor, but there's people who hate Conor McGregor and they want to see him get knocked out. So they're tuning in. So
exactly,
this is what Conor has marketed more than any other fighter.
Yeah.
Like,
the most important thing about being somebody who's selling tickets for anything is to be known. It's not to be liked, it's to be known. If you're liked or hated, that's a good thing. If people react to it, that's a good thing.
It's like a football analogy. I'll go John Anik. A football analogy. It's
American
like
footballer.
No,
then you're going
soccer.
You always do fucking football analogy.
But it's like Patrice Evra playing for Man United. Anyone who wasn't associated with Man United hated Patrice Evra. Like Luis Suarez, the chomping vampire bastard. Right, when he played for Liverpool, you hated him, and Liverpool fans loved him. But that's because he played for Liverpool. If he played for United,
you'd
love him.
Yeah.
So it's like that with McGregor.
Yeah,
most people in Ireland absolutely love Conor McGregor.
Most.
Excluding Wendy. but then, that's because he's theirs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, there's people who absolutely can't stand the man. And they tune in to watch him get knocked out.
Yeah. Which is a good thing.
Yeah. So
for him anyway.
He's cornered the mark on both sides.
But then you do have to give credit to the card that the UFC have put up. It's probably the best card they've ever done. I think a good list, we haven't done a list in a while, but a good list would be like top five best cards.
Yeah.
Potentially number one or number two, depending on how it actually turns out.
Like, yeah, well, that's, you see, that's the thing, isn't it? As in, 205 looks incredible. And everyone's moaning about 206. We'll get to a fight announced later on that. But everyone's giving out about 206. Oh, it's a shit card.
Yeah.
But like, they have all their aces in 205.
Yeah, like for me, I always had this argument with people. Like, Carl used to say, oh, well, it'd be better if they spread out the cards. You know, you'd have it like a decent card. And I think he's more on my kind of outlook now, where I prefer them have a fucking an amazing card, like have a 205, amazing, just throw all their eggs in that, and then have one or two cards that aren't so great. I'd still watch them, you know, but you'd have, like, it's an event, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if they split that card up. Even if you split 205 up, it's still an amazing card. But you know what I mean? If they took some of them fights off, stuck them on a different card, and you kind of had a fractured, you had two good cards. I prefer the big event, and then I can deal with a kind of a mediocre card here.
Well, if you look, like, if you think about it, right, between since 200, and 200 was billed as, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And then 200, unfortunately, just didn't live up to it.
And
just
also had some problems. Fights fell off.
People were pissing hot, shit like that. Yeah. But people are doing a shitload of cocaine.
I'll talk a bit about that later.
And then you had 202, so which was unbelievable. And now you have 205. So in the space of them five cards, you're having absolute Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So within the space of what? How many months? When was 202? Or 200?
200.
So it was this year anyway. So September, in the space of 6 months.
No, September.
In the space of less than 6 months, we're having basically three Super Bowls. Like, we can't, you know.
It was July, wasn't it?
Like, back in the day, right?
Yeah.
You used to get a videotape from a market every other month of a UFC event. Do you know what I mean? Now you turn on and, like, never mind just UFC. Yeah, there's Bellator cards, there's World Fight Series cards, there's, do you know what I mean? There's
Ryzen.
There's Ryzen. There's, and then you have local shows, you have your Bamas, you have your Cage Warriors, you have your Clan Wars, do you know what I mean? ACB.
So
so there's so much MMA out there. So it's a bit of a hipster thing, isn't it? Like, oh, it was so much better years ago when there was only a card every month, because your big stars, your Chuck Liddells and all, would always be fighting.
You'd have like an event every 6 months, every 4 months, you know what I mean? Yeah. You wouldn't have many pay-per-views. It's a different time now. Like, you can even see, we'll talk a bit about it later, like with Frank Mir wanting out his contract. So it's a different time. Like, the UFC is still the biggest by far, but there's so many shows out there that you can get paid. Fighters can get paid at different shows, and there's so many big cards happening. Like, the Bellator card's going to be huge.
My little conspiracy theory here is, see the way the UFC, all the cuts and all that, and they're saying they're not going to be doing as many shows outside of the States and stuff. I think they might be reformatting a little to the old way. I think the roster will slowly but surely get cut
back too, a bit. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's... I think it's more of an expense thing rather than we wanted to the events to feel big. I think it is, though, that they're looking at expansion, but they're not looking at it as much as the previous owners were. They were like aggressively expanding into Europe.
Well, they wanted to take over the world.
Yeah, and I think they're going to focus on certain markets. They probably, you know, sign a lot of fighters from certain parts of Europe and focus on that market.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, to be fair, the UFC done a really good job expanding everywhere, but they kind of stretched themselves a little thin. Like, you look at some of the European.
But, like,
look at shows.
Like, I know why you got honey dick totally with it. Like, but like CM Punk, like, that wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. Like, to get into the UFC 10 years ago, you literally had to be the best of the best. It was like Bloodsport. You had to get an invitation. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You had to be one of the top guys.
Depending on what year you're talking about, though.
But there's a lot of fighters now in the UFC that wouldn't be UFC caliber.
No.
Like, all this looking for a fight and all that.
Yeah.
It's great to get...
They're like 2-0.
It's a great show. It's great to get that, but... who was it? Was it Carl said this, or was it somebody? I can't remember who said it. It might have been Carl. They shouldn't have got rid of WEC. They should have held it.
Yeah.
And sort of had that as in, like... Not the B-League. That's the wrong word. But you know what I mean? That the qualifying promotion.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like,
kind of like what they're doing with Invicta. I don't think they hold a stake in Invicta, but I know that Invicta's on Fight Pass. I think they help run the show and stuff like that. Mm. So they have a lot of girls who fight there, but then once they want them in the UFC, they have a good relationship where they can bring them up. Similar to what they did have with the WEC.
Mm.
But eventually, like, the WEC, people don't remember, they just think, oh, it was the smaller weight classes. WC had every weight class at one point. Just eventually, they're like, okay, we don't have enough heavyweights. They dissolved that division. Yeah. Then the middleweights, and then it went all the way down.
But that's what, like, I honestly think, like, I know it sounds silly, but you know when you start the UFC game, you start in, like, a league.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was RFA.
I don't see there being... Like, I think it'd be different. I suppose people might look down and go, oh, you're only in the B League or whatever. But, like, yeah, WEC, you're fighting WEC. And then if you have a good career then and you get a couple of wins, then you get promoted up to the UFC. I don't see that as a bad thing.
Yeah, like, it's a weird one. But, like, imagine if they'd done something like Fight Pass. Not only do they have their Fight Pass shows, they don't do that many right now. But I think in the future, that's going to be a big thing. They're going to do loads of shows on Fight Pass. If they had, like, it was a UFC branded show, but they maybe call it something else, like the way they have like UFC Fight Night.
Yeah,
they have they actually call it like UFC Fight Pass, and they work it as like a separate promotion, and then they have fights there, and then eventually it can move up to the bigger.
Yeah, and I think it could be onto something there, especially now that the rumor of Tough is getting tucked away for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be something they could look at. You know what I mean? To sort of have like weekly, like the roster they could nearly do like a weekly Fight Pass show.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? To sort of have that as the young talent.
Yeah.
Call it Fight Pass talent or something. Do you know what I mean? Something like that and bring it up. Speaking of holding back talent, though, France upholds its MMA ban. I don't know what it is with France and MMA.
They don't like it.
Yeah, it's... I've met a good few French fighters who are coming over here to fight and they train in France. So, you know...
Yeah, like
It goes on there.
Yeah, I think... I'm not completely educated on it, but I know... At one time, and I think it was before this, they could do MMA, but it had to be in a ring.
Yeah, and I think
it's similar to Australia, where they, for a long time, and still, I think it's still in some Australian states, they don't have the ring.
Yeah.
But now they're completely making strikes to the ground opponent illegal, which effectively bans MMA, because you can't really have MMA without that, unless you do a separate grappling, separate thing. So, very unfortunate, because there actually is a lot of good French MMA fighters,
Tom Duke, I was like, only sharing as well. That made me think about the French thing as well. I was only sharing the Czech Congo, come back from hell against Pat Barry that time. So yeah, it is like, look, laws are laws, French people are French, do you know what I mean? So it doesn't surprise me, you know what I mean? They're probably too interested in drinking their bleeding whatever and their baguettes. I don't know. Like, listen, I'm only trying to act the dope there, but it is a pity when you see it, because it still makes the sport sound like it's not legit.
It's not, yeah, exactly.
Or
yeah.
You know what I mean? That a country is voting to ban
it's
it.
It's something that someone can jump on, like when there's arguments why MMA shouldn't be legal.
Oh, guarantee it. France. Yeah. France, who are a very civilized country, don't allow MMA.
Then what about the US? Yeah. Don't mind that.
Yeah, don't mind them. Yeah, their president is Donald Trump. Just a prediction there for you.
Fantastic.
Someone that would normally is probably going to be in the UFC Hall of Fame at one point in time. Mr. Frank Mir wants out of his UFC contract to pursue a K-1 and boxing. Boxing career or to have a pro boxing bout. He was saying this while I believe he was commentating on ACB, wasn't he, with Brian Lacey. Frank Mir, so he's banned at the moment, but he's saying he's sort of held up, like even when he comes back he won't get fights, he won't be active. He was saying he'd love to fight over in the likes of Russia or in Asia. It was his dream to fight over in them sort of regions, and he wanted to try his hand at K1 or boxing. You'd wonder what Frank Mir's contract is, and if the UFC, this could be where it gets tricky for Frank Mir. I'd say he might have had the year of the Fertittas, if you like, where they could have went, look, Frank, you've been here with us for years. Go off and pasture there away, and where you can take them things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And let them go away and compete in Russia and Asia, you know what I mean? And let them off to be a stud or pasture.
That was just kangaroo meat, you know?
Was it kangaroo? Or did he say something? Yeah, it was kangaroo meat, wasn't it?
Frank Mir?
But, what age is Frank Mir? K1? Really, you think, where's he going to fight on?
Did you ever see Frank Bellator Mir as a great K-1 kickboxer?
No.
Like, he has some great knockouts, and he has decent MMA strikes.
Yeah, but against
now,
a legit kickboxer.
Yeah, I don't see... I think he just wants to fight outside the UFC. Like, what I was saying earlier on, it's a different time in MMA now. You can make just as much or more money outside the UFC. Because, Frank Mir would attract sponsors. He really would. And we're getting back to the whole Reebok thing, but, you know, without kind of... talking about that again for too long.
But as well, like, I think Shane Carwin come out of retirement, yeah. Signed with fucking Rising, whatever you want. I was shocked. He's 42 or something.
Yeah, Carwin. Yeah, he started late.
Yeah, properly. And like, again, you can see him like going over, and he's going into the open way.
Yeah.
God bless whoever gets him round one. Imagine he got to like a 170 guy. You know what I mean? They'll have to tie his arm behind his back.
Yeah, that can't be allowed. Come on.
But yeah, so you've Krokop is fighting Wanderlei Silva, isn't he? In there.
Yeah.
So then Carwin slots in there. Yeah. But you can see like Frank Mir going over to fight in Rising and fight like as well. You can see like Bigfoot Silva apparently is being offered a big fight in Russia and is getting $500,000. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so there's a fight there. Like
you can see the, like you look at Bob Sapp. Bob Sapp is a multi millionaire from going over and fighting these big mad fights. Yeah. As soon as he gets a little bit the taparoo and he's gone. So like. Yeah. You can't blame them.
You can't blame
them. It's like footballers going and playing for LA Galaxy or New York.
Get a bit
whatever.
Of sunshine, make loads of money. But like with Frank Mir, unfortunately in the UFC, you can't really choose your opponents.
Yeah.
Maybe back in, you know, with Joe Silva still there and Lorenzo Fertitta, he might have been able to have a bit of input on that. But I'm not sure if at this point he's going to be able to.
But like,
he's been put there.
Put your Sean Shelby. You can't say Joe Silva because he's gone, isn't he? Put your Sean Shelby hat on there. Who would you match Frank Mir with in the heavyweight division now?
That's what I'm saying. Like, who's there? Like, do you really want to put him in there with a
Stefan Struve
nightmare? Who's gonna
like
knock
him? I'm just trying to think. Like, who's
Derek Lewis getting knocked out? Probably.
Roy Nelson. He's fought him.
Yeah, there's not really that many interesting fights there for Frank Mir. Whereas if he goes outside become, the UFC,
what I think would happen with Frank Mir is I think Frank Mir would become just the gatekeeper to the heavyweight division.
I agree.
He
already is. That.
Yeah, he is. But he's sort of still a. He's like, he if you're playing a video game, he's the third boss you'd fight. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not the first boss.
Yeah.
So, like, the likes of, you can see him dropping down that
Big time.
Because
well,
UFC have signed a few new heavyweights, like with the likes of Mark Hopper and stuff like that. Yeah. So you could see him then fighting them, and he's going to get minced up by these younger, stronger, faster kids.
He doesn't want to go in there against these young guys. He wants to be able to not pick his fights, but at least have input like he wants to fight. In the UFC, they're going to say, here's a contract for you. If you want to fight, you're signing, you're fighting this monster.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And at his age, I think all he wants to do is make some money and then retire.
Well, I'd love to see Frank Mir get into the commentary booth with the UFC because his breakdown.
Give him a job.
Loads of people turn around and don't like Frank Mir. They just because he comes across as a
cocky,
bit,
but
if you were Frank Mir, you'd be cocky. Do you know what I mean? Like you know,
like broke like 12 man's arms. Yeah,
you know, you would be cocky, but like he knows his stuff and his commentary is really, really intuitive. Like as in, you're watching it and like you could be watching it not understanding what you're watching. You could be a complete newbie to the sport.
Yeah.
And Frank Mir's brilliant because he literally say things like, well, what he's going to try to do here is he's going to move to this position. He's going to put his shin down and push there.
Yeah.
And he sort of says what's going to happen and then it happens.
He's
and
brilliant.
You go, that's great. So from somebody who might be just a casual fan or whatever, like, you know, like I'm watching MMA years and I trained a little jiu-jitsu, like I, whatever. But, you know, watching it, you don't know what a black belt is going to do next.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's good to have a black belt telling you what the black belt is going to do next.
Yeah.
So, like, but that's what I really like about Brian Stann. Brian Stann really breaks the fights down brilliantly when you're listening to Brian
Stann. It is great that we're getting to the point where we have these guys who fought.
Yeah.
Like, we, you know, it's still a young sport. People don't
realize it's still a young sport.
We're getting these guys who fought and now they're starting to commentate, like Brian Stann. Like,
Kenny Florin,
Dominic
Cruz.
Like he's still fighting, but he's just
Like
once he retires, that's his job. Like just give him that job, pay him loads of money.
But as well, what it does as well is this sounds weird, like because I don't need to help the sport, but it helps the sport having fighters because you're showing these guys aren't just barbaric, bleeding, bloodthirsty lunatics. Do you know what
I mean? It's also a PR move in a way because. A lot of like, I don't think Frank Mir will have the problem where he retires and he's gonna have nothing to do.
But
you're still giving these guys who are retiring a job, like
for sure.
You know, it's a good thing. You can see
like former guys like Chuck Liddell works for the UFC and Forrest Griffin works for the UFC. Yeah. So it's almost like again when a legend of a football club retires, they become an ambassador.
You'd also think Frank Mir would be a perfect candidate for that because he's been in the UFC for how long?
Yeah.
Like
I think that the whole drug test is going to, you know,
it's going to affect. But
that's going to sort of screw
but,
him around a bit.
I do agree. I think if possible, get him. Again, he probably still wants to fight. That's probably why.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they did offer him it. We're just kind of speculating here. But he's like him in the WEC was amazing. Him commentating on those fights.
Yeah, brilliant.
He was one of the better commentating teams in MMA, I thought. So.
No, he really was. He really knows his stuff. Yeah. My son's getting a phone call on Skype. That's what's happening there.
Coming through on that.
Yeah. Hold on. Edit this.
Yeah.
So moving on then, from Frank Mir, outside of MMA, Ireland's favourite daughter, Katie Taylor, has announced that she's turning professional and she's signed with Eddie Hearn, is it?
That's who she looks like.
When I heard this, I went a little... I don't know what happened to me, I just... when I heard this, I was surprised at Katie Taylor's age. She's 30 now.
Yeah.
I think maybe... She got screwed over in the last Olympics.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, so I think that, obviously, you're seeing what happened with
Conlon
as well. Yeah. And it just looked like there was an agenda there. Obviously, there's been investigations still going on and all the judges and the referees are all suspended and they're not allowed to do it. Yeah, so complete Dodge City. But I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back for Katie Taylor. But is it too late? Is it... do you know what I mean? Well, 30 years of age to turn pro, is it a good time for her? What do you think of that?
I think she's be very competitive in professional boxing. She's one of the best amateur boxers out there. She won every competition. She won gold medals. It's not like she's gone to a different sport. It's the same sport, just slightly modified. Yeah.
I think she'd do well.
I think she'd do very well.
Yeah, because the way she strikes, the way she fights, I think with... You know, I just think she's, you know, that stupid amateur scoring rule that they apply, she won't get screwed by it, and I think she'll finish a lot more fights then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What do you think about the talk of doing the Aviva Stadium? They said possibly Aviva.
Would it sell out?
I think it might, yeah.
As Katie as the main event?
She's very popular, very, very popular over here. If you think about it,
I think they'd have to have a good card, though. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think it'd sell out the Aviva just Katie Taylor or himself. Katie Taylor's fought in the National Stadium at times and, in front of an empty stadium.
It's promoted differently, do you know what I mean? Like, a professional Katie Taylor.
I'd love to see her do really well.
Yeah, it's just good for Irish sport as well.
Again, you'd love to see her win a world title or something. Everyone wanted the gold medal for her. And she done that. She achieved that. And I think she just wanted to prove that she was the best again. And that's obviously why she went to the last Olympics. Yeah. But then when she got screwed the way she did, that was, fuck this shit.
We started a conspiracy. Conor McGregor making an out-of-left-field announcement after UFC 205. Katie Taylor possibly fighting the Aviva next year.
Yeah, with
McGregor Promotions.
McGregor Promotions, Katie Taylor,
What's Eddie Hearn's fucking promotion?
I don't know.
Never it is.
Who cares? Who cares? But well done, Katie Taylor. Hopefully she gets it. It'd be a good fight, gets a good fight. And, there's no reason why she couldn't be one fight away from a world title shot.
But that's what the plan is. They said it would be a title fight. So I'm assuming they'll try to get her, boxing the way the model is, get her a few cans, get her knock out a couple of people, and then give her a title fight.
Thought because you were saying she's from Bray, you were going to get her a few cans. Not everybody is drinking cans and then fights, Rob. Fuck's sake. Jumping back into MMA, Dana White has said things have never been better with GSP after all the talk of free agency, back and forth, slavery, all this. Apparently, GSP and Dana White have met and everything's peachy.
Yeah, GSP said that as well. He said they have sorted out whatever they had to sort out.
Mm.
But then they still said, there's no fight set up. So,
did you see his reply to Michael Bisping, the video?
I didn't see the video, but I heard...
It's GSP and you see him. GSP reply. He's head to toe in fucking Under Armour. He's on a racetrack and you're going, he's replying. It's the most politest reply to a call out. Well, Michael, I would really like to fight you, but unfortunately things have gone this way and maybe we will fight again. And they're going, he's so polite. Yeah. What a lovely man he is. Yeah. He is lovely, isn't he?
He's a lovely guy.
But going from that then, Michael Bisping is basically calling out everybody under the sun.
Apart from middleweights.
Yeah. Nick Diaz is gathering serious legs and momentum as a potential return for the bigger Diaz brother to get a title shot. What's he gonna? That's skipping a big queue, isn't it? As much as the McGregor Alvarez lightweight are giving out about that skipping
that's
the
different.
Queue. Very different. He's the featherweight champion.
I've already said that I'm not 100% on board with that. Well, I am. Like it's a great fight, but I'm still I can see where Aldo's coming from. I can see where especially Holloway is coming from. But Nick Diaz, he lost his last fight. He hasn't fought in how long?
It's his last fight against Anderson Silva.
Yeah, exactly.
To come in and get that.
And Michael Bisping hasn't fought a middleweight yet.
Yeah, well, Michael Bisping is sort of picking, isn't he?
Fought Dan Henderson.
Yeah, but he's Bisping. They're basically saying he's dodging everyone. That's what's happening. A lot of fighters are saying Bisping is dodging people left, right, and center.
I wouldn't say he's dodging people. I think he's trying to pick his fights, smart fights, which is a very smart thing to do. I think if any other fighter was in that position, they're not going to be able. They're not going to try.
Essentially, he's doing. What Conor's doing.
Yeah, he's doing the exact same thing. He's picking what fight he thinks is the best fight for him. Why wouldn't you want to fight GSP? Why wouldn't you want to fight Nick Diaz? Like, I'd rather... Like, if I was Michael Bisping right now and they said, here, you fight GSP...
The GSP fight has more legitimacy, I think.
Legitimacy, yeah. But just in terms of numbers, like, he's looking for the one that's going... Like, Michael Bisping has, what, maybe 5 fights left in him? Really?
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, he is getting up there. Like, it's... If you think about it, that's like 2 years maybe. Do you know what I mean?
Well, he's done something that Carl doesn't consider people a champion too. He has defended his belt.
Yes,
so his legacy will go down that he's not a paper champion.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's defended his belt. He's done that. So, I don't know. I just think, like, for me, the winner of Wyman, Yoel Romero, is the number one contender.
I agree.
Or Jack Ray. So, yeah, Jack Ray is injured though at the minute, isn't he? So, is Jack Ray, he's scheduled to fight, is he?
Oh, Jesus.
Mind drawing a blank.
Yeah. But
3 of them are the number one contenders. Rockhold, if he comes back and wins his comeback fight,
yeah,
he's back in the mix. So, Nick Diaz... I love Nick Diaz, by the way. I'm a big Diaz fan. But if he comes in and wins as the champion, it's just sort of weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I could also see him winning.
Oh, yeah. Diaz wins that fight every day, I think.
I think
Bisping would take the Carlos Condit style
100%.
Fight.
Well, that's
Diaz. He'll strike a move.
It could be a 5-round decision for Bisping, but one thing that is important though, if the number one contender is the winner of Romero and Weidman, that fight will happen like a couple of weeks before this fight will happen, if it does happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still lined up. The winner of that would still fight the winner of that. So it's, you know, Bisping has to fight soon anyway.
Mm.
So
who would you match him against?
Bisping? I'd match him against the winner of that, or who'd you say? I can't do Rockhold. Rockhold needs to come back and get a win. The winner of that. So if you're going to give Bisping a fight in between, like, who else is there, to be fair? I don't agree with the fight.
Anderson Silva. No?
Has he won?
No, Silva's last. Yeah, he won his last fight, didn't he? He came back.
He lost to fucking Daniel Cormier.
Oh, Daniel Cormier, DC. Yeah. But he took that in short notice.
True, but that's... They're just...
Yeah, but again, it's activity, isn't it? This is the big thing. Like, everyone... Like, you know, we're even saying, oh, you shouldn't fight him, you shouldn't fight him. But then you go... Who should he fight?
Yeah,
and you go,
fight, yeah. If you need to give him a fight.
Fuck yeah, there's sort of nobody there.
GSP
yeah.
would be the best option.
GSP would be great.
Because
yeah.
he never lost his title, didn't lose, and huge star. Perfect, but, you know. Still, none of them are ideal. Like, the winner of that fight should win, or should get the title fight. The winner of the Chris Weidman fight. But, you know, if he needs to fight in between, just give him somebody. You know, it would be.
But again, you don't want the division. This is my only thing about it. Like, yeah, a champion, I think, should have his say. And sort of say, Conor, you can argue, could do a lot of what he wants because what he's done.
Yeah.
He can sort of predict a lot. You could say the same for when Anderson was the champion. He fucking just defended it, like, for eternity. Like, So, he could pick and choose. He could have his say more so. John Jones, you could say the same.
He didn't, though. Well, both of them didn't, really.
Did he not? You might know he did, but you just didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
Just Bisping's a mouth. Do you know what I mean? So, you hear everything. You know what I mean? Bisping's constantly on Twitter and Facebook and whatever, saying whatever, or any TV show. Exactly. Yeah. So, he's a bit of a mouth in that sense. John Jones, I'm sure, has done that too. Chris Weidman, I'm sure, was doing it at one stage. He was, well, you just don't hear it.
To be fair, if
but I think you should have to fight if there's a legit guy,
a legit
Max Holloway. How Max Holloway is not fighting for a title is beyond on me.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought they would have done the Aldo Holloway fight.
Yeah,
if
but
possible.
Aldo said he didn't want it. He said he'd rather fight Showtime Pettis. So UFC went, all right, yeah, so we'll do Holloway, Showtime Pettis. So it's just quality. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fuck you. Another rumour fight to happen in early 2017, this time on Bellator, is Matt Mitrion taking on Fedor Emelianenko. That's a good fight, isn't it? Big fight for Matt Mitrion.
Yeah, but it's also a big fight for Fedor, I think, because he hasn't really fought, like, he hasn't really fought a legit heavyweight. Not that, I don't think Matt Mitrion is a legit heavyweight, as in he's a top five heavyweight.
He's legit, stands on the weighing scales, he's a heavyweight.
No, but I mean, physically he's legit. Yeah. But I don't think he's one of the best heavyweights out there. He does have a name. And
like Maldonado.
Maldonado is not even a lightweight. Like.
Yeah.
So I think it's a big test for Fedor at this point in his career, where we've seen that he's had trouble with bigger guys.
Matt Mitrion's really athletic. The way he moves, he's light on his feet. For a heavy guy, he moves. He does get caught, though. Like, you've seen him...
Fedor, though.
Yeah, well, that's Fedor. It's like... Fedor's coming to the end of his time, like, you know what I mean? And for Matt Mitrion, this is a fight that he couldn't turn down. Like, this is...
This is a huge
fight.
The biggest money fight for him outside the UFC.
Yeah, 100%.
Really. Even inside the UFC.
I wonder, will they fight it? It'll be in the States, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So Fedor, he only fought under Strikeforce, and he got beat by Dana Henderson.
He got beat by Verdum,
and then he got beat by
Bigfoot.
So he doesn't have a great record, doesn't he?
No, but he beat what's his face?
Oh, I'm looking at him. That man where he knocks his head off.
Yeah. Come back to me.
He was losing that fight as well. Mm. So Fedor, you know, the legend that he is, his mystique isn't there in the States.
It's gone, but it's gone completely, really. Like, he's not the same guy as he used to be. He's old, and that just happens. Do you know what I mean?
And like,
he was retired for a long time.
In fairness, you know, a lot of people we've talked about it before, and he's all slammy when I turn around and stir the shit and say, I always thought Fedor was overrated. He sort of, you know, he's fought guys like, again, look at the Molinado fight, like, that was just insane. Like, Fedor did not win that fight. Like,
I don't think so, no. It was at least a draw.
Yeah, but like, he has legitimate knockouts over the likes of Arlovski and stuff like that. He was getting well beaten that fight.
I still think Fedor is probably one of the best heavyweights of all time, but like, you can't really judge him on later in his career. He's getting old.
And if you think about it, it's like what we're saying about Frank Mir. So it's unfair for us to say, you know, Frank Mir can't fight these young and up-and-coming lions, and then
it's a new generation.
Flip it and go, Fedor's crap, because that's what's happening to him.
Exactly. At the time, sure, some of the people he fought at that time weren't great. They wouldn't compete with the heavyweights we have now. But you can only fight
who's in the promotion yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
That's why the biggest disappointment for me with Fedor was that he never came to the UFC. And I'm not talking about, if he signed for the UFC now, hysteria would still build and be like, oh my God, it's Fedor. And then if it was 10 years ago.
It's a different guy at this point.
So, but again, big fight for Matt Mitrione, who had a bit of banter and a bit of back and forth with John Bones Jones.
Yeah,
it's been
a big week for him.
On the Twitter machine. Yeah. He basically put up a picture of this dude in, it looked like a coffee shop or something.
Didn't even look like him that much, to be
nothing
fair.
Nothing like
him.
Yeah. You could almost go the racist route. It was basically a black guy with a beard.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's John Jones. So defeat his coke habit or something, he said, wasn't
he
it?
Said,
defeat his habit.
It looks like since his suspension, he needs to feed his coke habit with a cash job or something
like that. And then, like, John Jones, I thought John Jones were probably great, like, thanks, whatever, and you know, no need to come back. But Mitch Young was going on about, oh, yeah, I know what happened in London, I was there and all this, and there was a little bit of that, like, so it was a bit. You'd wonder if Mitch Young was probably sat at home bored, or sitting on an airplane bored and just start tweeting.
Yeah, saying this guy, that kind of looks like John Jones.
Yeah, but like, I thought it was funny. Jones turned around and said something like, you even went to the trouble of like merging two photos together. Like, you know what I mean? So you went to effort to do this. Like,
your
life is pathetic, like, you know.
But
he said, and what
people are talking about Matt Mitrione, though.
Yeah, well, Matt Mitrione is notorious for this.
Yeah.
He had it with Tito Ortiz. Remember at the fighter conference and he took his sandals off or something, didn't he? He had flip flops on. He was going to start throwing down with Tito at the fighter summit.
Yeah.
So Matt Mitrione, he does this, and he does it well. He sort of melts off at guys, and he gets a bit of reaction, and it's good.
And I like Matt Mitrione. He's a good fighter. As I said, I don't think he's a top fighter in the heavyweight division. I don't think he thinks he's a top fighter in the heavyweight division because, you know, he did leave the UFC. Not that there's, you know, anything wrong with that, but he's fighting lower-level guys, but he's still... relevant.
Badly hurt in his last fight, wasn't he? Bellator. Yeah. He looked like he was in trouble. Dropped, and then
he's relevant, though.
Yeah. Ah, yeah. You know, Mitch Yoni's all right. I like Mitch Yoni. I like his style. He comes to fight. You also say
he's... they call him Mihab, but he's smart.
Look at that eye poke. His eye was bulging out of his...
Nightmare.
Get a grip.
Nightmare stuff, yeah.
Uriah Faber.
We spoke about it last week,
but we didn't speak about it enough. We just sort of breezed over it. So he's hanging his gloves up after his fight with Brad Pickett at UFC on Fox, Fox 22. That goes down on the 17th of December. So Uriah Faber...
Legend.
We spoke about it, that he has... He's never got the gold in the UFC, but that's because he has Dominic Cruz, TJ Dillashaw ahead of him. So he's in an absolute tank with like complete sharks. Uriah Faber is legit. Like you see him in his last fights and all, he's fast, he's strong, he's got everything. I like that he's hanging the gloves up though. I have to be honest, like he sort of knows. UFC is not there, and he's going to, let's be honest, like alpha male, he's still going to train on every day. He's going to be running alpha male, so
I don't think you can underestimate how big of a figure in MMA Uriah Faber was, though. Like when you think of the WEC, he's probably the first guy you think of, along with like
Cowboy.
But like Jose Aldo, but like Uriah Faber in the early days of the US or the WEC and even the later days,
he was the man.
That fight with Jose Aldo, that was like the UFC actually promoted that as like a kind of a, not even a crossover fight, but do you remember when they promoted that fight? It was like they brought their own team over. Goldie was commentating on it. It was such a big event, and even his fight with like Jens Pulver was a big fight. He was the man. Like he was the man in the lower weight classes. I think people who have only watched MMA for the last couple of years since the likes of Conor came around don't realise how big of a figure he was.
Yeah.
And he was such a good fighter, and he's been doing it for so long that he's not the best now.
Who was it? Was it against was it Jose when he broke his two hands?
That was Mike Brown.
Mike Brown fight, and he's basically throwing elbows. His two hands are broken,
and he was throwing elbows. And then against Jose Aldo, where he was just getting tore apart on the feet with the leg kicks, and he just kept coming. One of the toughest, legitimately toughest.
Walking Dead. Spoiler alert. His leg was like Glenn's head.
I don't watch it. I don't watch it, but I've heard all the spoilers. Yeah.
Spoiler.
Glenn's dead. Hopefully,
sorry.
Yeah, hopefully people heard the spoiler. But I think you can't underestimate how important Uriah Faber was.
100%
to the lower weight class.
We said about Frank Mir going to be a UFC Hall of Famer. 100% Uriah Hall's in there. Great character as well. Uriah Faber. What he done? Like the tough he done with Conor. I think he thought he was going to fucking hate Conor McGregor. Yeah, and they ended up good pals. You know what I mean? And they were just talking shit to him. They were just trying to sell it. And they like it. Like, big time. Faber is an absolute beast of a fighter.
He's also an amazing self-promoter. Like, if you think about his
Alpha male, though, is just him. Fighters come out and they're like him. They're built like him. They're sort of smaller guys. Yeah. They're known for that, the smaller guys. But
what I love about Uriah Faber, when you think about him, he's going to fight, you know, California Love's gonna come on. Yeah. He's gonna come out with the fucking hair, come out fucking dancing around. Like he's a character. Like you know who Uriah Faber is. So many guys are really good fighters, but they just can't. They're not a character. Like Conor, he's a character. Like he promotes a certain way. Uriah Faber, same thing. Doesn't promote like Conor, but he's a great self promoter. You know when he's fighting.
Yeah, and I tell you, Brad Pickett, it's a tough fight ahead, you know, as much as it sort of makes it harder for Brad Pickett knowing the guy he's fighting is going out, because he just knows he's literally going to go out with a sword, what I mean? He always did, though, in fairness, Uriah Faber. Yeah. He goes out in a sword, he gives it every time. You either got to pull him out or he's going to keep coming. Broken hands, no legs, he's still going to come at you, you know?
That big butt chin coming at you.
Big time. Frankie Perez is coming out of retirement to take on Mark Diakese at UFC Fight Night 102. Yep. So this is Mark. When he was on the show, he basically said, injury free, he wants to get back in there as soon as, and he has delivered on that promise. So fighting Frankie Perez, what do we think of this fight?
Good fight. Another good opportunity for Diakese. He does think that he's quite close to a title fight already if he gets a couple of wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, another guy who's he's a bit of a character. Like I think he's gonna be a big star. Frankie Perez retired. I wonder if they offered him the fight. That's why he came out of retirement. Obviously, looking for a fight. But I do like the fight. I think it's a really good fight. Could be exciting, I think.
Yeah, and I definitely like what Mark literally put to that moron on Reddit. That you put up the question. Yeah. Do you have any questions for Brad Pickett or Mark Diakazi? He went, yeah, can you ask Brad Pickett who the fuck Mark Diakazi is? And I was like, you will not be asking that question after Saturday night. And I guarantee you, this fucker in like a year, he'll be walking around with a Reebok t-shirt with Diakazi on it. But guarantee you, you little fucking troll on Reddit. You commented on Reddit, you prick.
Reddit really fucking annoys you, don't they?
Oh, they irritate the shit out of me. But sure, hey. But yeah, big, big opportunity for Diakazi. I look forward to watching him fight. I love watching him fight. He's an absolute...
Big time, yeah.
Again, another guy when you're talking to, you're like, you're not a fighter, because he's just a nice, happy guy, always smiling. And then he gets in there, and just the switch goes, and, you know, do you ever watch any of his training videos, Ranton, that he puts up? He's just fucking watching. The journey he does to train, like, he gets up and goes, he gets up like a half hour or something to go to his boxing coach. His boxing coach does a 9-to-5 job, so he goes and trains with his boxing coach early before his boxing coach's job. Then drives back to his home. So it's like an hour and a half drive. Has a sleep for an hour. And then goes MMA training. Drives another hour to go. Mm-hmm. Like he just... He's an absolute grinder. He's... I honestly think he's going to be a very bright star in the UFC.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Speaking of two bright stars, Anthony Pettis taking on Max. Yeah, the obviously fight talk effect. That's what happens. Come on the show. We'll get you up there. Anthony Pettis takes on Max Holloway at UFC 206. This is one where you get the meme of Randy from South Park sitting at the computer This is phenomenal. Now, I do think momentum is a big fucking thing. Yeah. Pettis got the win in his last bout, but Max Holloway has not dropped. I don't even think he's dropped a round since he got beaten by Conor McGregor.
Yeah. I'm going to call it now. Max Holloway embarrasses Anthony Pettis.
Yeah, they like what he done to Cub Swanson. Like.
I think so. I think Pettis is still a really good fighter. I think this move to featherweight is a really good move for Pettis. I think the first fight, we can't judge him too much. He looked good, but we can't judge him too much. First time cutting the weight. Not that he's a huge lightweight, but first time cutting the weight, I'm sure it was different. He's been so long there. But I think Max Holloway's movement is just going to be an absolute nightmare for Anthony Pettis. Nightmare.
Max Holloway, first time I laid eyes on Max Holloway in the UFC and watching fight, I thought this kid's going to be phenomenal. When Conor got matched with him, I was disappointed because it was like, you know, the two guys you like, you know what I mean? But he's been on an absolute tear. And everyone talks about fights for Conor. I would love, as much as I said I was disappointed when they fought him there, I'd love to see Max Holloway fight Conor McGregor again.
Yeah, yeah.
I think...
I'm really disappointed.
I think it's the best fight out there, featherweight.
Yeah. I'm quite disappointed that the UFC don't promote him that well. They don't promote him at all. They don't push him. Like, that guy could be a fucking superstar.
He's unbelievable. Like, they could... Like, Hawaii, like, so he's basically got Hawaii behind
bring
him.
Bring an event to Hawaii.
Yeah, big time.
Ariel Helwani always talks about this. He always says... Do fights in places that make sense. Like, bringing Conor to Ireland or even to, like, Boston because of the whole Irish rule. When they brought heavyweight champ...
Steve Bamey Oates
just brought him to Cleveland. Amazing show because, you know...
Hometown guy is on the card. Can you imagine? They're like, and in Hawaii, MMA is huge. Like, as in, it was obviously there with BJ Penn, the prodigy following BJ. And now Max has taken over that in Hawaii. And I just think, like... Like, watching him fight, he actually reminds me, the way he fights, I should say it the other way around, really. Reese McKee reminds me a lot of Max Holloway. It's that long fighter.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, like, when you look at Max Holloway, like I always joke, you look like you're going to buy fireworks off him. Or, you know, buy dodgy cigarettes or something off him. You know what I mean? He looks Mini like rockets. A complete anto, you know what I mean? All right, lads. Want the boy that matches, do you? But he's to be outside Lansdowne sending you tickets for it, you know what I mean? Tout, like. But he's an absolute killer. His style of fighting, his movement, his ground game is just phenomenal as well. It's just every time Max Holloway steps into the octagon, it's an improved Max Holloway.
He
has never been stagnated. He's constantly evolving, constantly getting better. And, like, I'm not going to do it. Like, Anthony Pettis, I think Anthony Pettis... peaked, had his moment in the sun, Oh, I'm going to get poetic. Like, he flew, not that he flew too close to the sun, but he got there and he's burned a little. And he's ascending now. He's coming down while Max Holloway is just on the up and up and up and up. Pettis has it. He has the ability in it. But I always find when I watch Pettis, when the fight starts going against him, he never comes back, if you know what I mean.
Who was it we were speaking to? I think it was Brad Pickett. It was Brad Pickett. And he was talking about how he picks fights. He looks at who's going to win over a five-round decision. I think if you look at this fight, Max Holloway all day. Five-round decision, he picks Anthony Pettis.
Never tires.
Yeah, even though Anthony Pettis is one of the best strikers in the UFC, I just think that style, Anthony Pettis has never been great with his hands. Mm. He's more of a kick-based fighter, where Max Holloway is amazing with his hands.
Knees.
He throws kicks. You know, if you're looking at kickers, Anthony Pettis is a better kicker. Yeah. But it's not going to surprise me if Anthony Pettis lands a big head kick or something and knocks Max Holloway out. Mm. It'll surprise me, as in I think Max Holloway has a granite chin, but it's there for Pettis. But what would surprise me if Pettis goes out there and picks Holloway apart? That would surprise me a whole lot.
Like I can see Max Holloway winning this if he doesn't get the title shot next. I think it's the longest winning streak ever.
Oh yeah,
without getting the title shot. I think Holloway's going to look and go up a weight. I think he's going to go up to lightweight. So. Yeah, I think so, because that's where, especially if.
If Conor wins.
Yeah, if Conor wins.
And Conor doesn't take time off or whatever. Can
you imagine if Conor won, Max Holloway beats Anthony Pettis, Max Holloway gets the featherweight title. Pettis, what?
I was just thinking, like, imagine the story. Like, I was thinking about promoter-wise, this
is what I'm saying. Can you imagine if Holloway goes on, wins the featherweight title, Conor's won the lightweight title, and then it's like the sale of the rematch.
I'm thinking, like, perfect for Holloway, wins that fight. And when's that fight, actually?
It's 206.
That's after 205. If Conor wins and he's like,
Carl Vardman here. 206 is after 205. Get out of here.
No, if Conor wins the title, say, he's champ and he's like, I'm staying. Yeah. I'm fighting, because there is rumours that he's going to be taking hanging up the
McGregor, Holloway, Hawaii.
Perfect team for Holloway to say, and they'll make the fight straight away just because of the story.
Yeah.
On the mic after the fight, Conor's running
away
from
Conor McGregor. You absolutely suck.
Conor, he's running from the division. I'm coming up. I want that title.
Big time.
Perfect.
Unbelievable.
Perfect opportunity.
I'll fight you.
I'll put on the weight. Yeah. I don't care. You're running away.
Let's do a 140 or 150. Let's do 150 or 155.
Oh, no, I'll go with
55. I'll fight you in Hawaii. Be fucking sell it. Yeah, there you are, Max.
Yeah,
get onto it, Max Anto Holloway.
And now they both lose, and then we won't get the fight.
So. Yeah, but now that's like, for me, that's an incredible fight.
Oh yeah,
I don't know, because Conor, when he spoke about the Aldo fight, he was saying, you know, it doesn't make sense. I murked him in like 13 seconds.
It's a difference.
He beat Max over three rounds. Yes, he blew his knee out.
Holloway also said he had an injury as well.
So I just think the tear that Holloway is on, Conor McGregor, Max Holloway, is a phenomenal fight.
Could be,
and have my money.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way you have those amazing rivalries in like, say, boxing, where you had
like trilogies
and Fraser,
stuff,
that kind of stuff. I think that could be
potentially. Yeah,
that could be one, like DC and.
I'd love it more if Max Holloway gets the title shot at featherweight. Wins it. Now, it can work either way. If Conor doesn't win the lightweight, I think he'll go back to featherweight to defend his belt. If he does win it, I think he'll vacate feather, and I think Max Holloway should fight whoever for the legit title.
Aldo or whatever.
Yeah, and then McGregor, Holloway, unification.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah, if MMA
it's
was
basically,
scripted,
it's like fucking writing Rocky Balboa here.
Exactly, yeah.
It's unreal. So, the writers of Warrior 2, there's your line, go with it. In other news this week, Fabricio Werdum has been removed from commentary duties following an anti-Reebok post on his Instagram, which told official sponsors of the UFC, quote, suck his balls. Not very smart on a public social media thing to do. This is the whole Reebok thing, isn't it? He's basically saying he used to get 150 grand from sponsors, and now Reebok are paying him five grand.
It's ridiculous.
He's not the first fighter. He's not the second fighter. He's not the third fighter. He's not the fourth fighter. He's about the 25th fighter. No, but we would have been there a while.
Yeah.
A lot of fighters, obviously. If that's the difference in money, that's insane, you know. And I said it when it happened, and we spoke about this an awful lot on the show. To be fair, the Reebok deal is an absolute sham on fighters, and fighters have been screwed over with this. It'd be like you going into your normal job, be it you're a postman, be it you're a bread man, a baker, a nurse, a doctor, whatever. It's like going in there and going, you know the way you used to get paid this? Yeah. Well, we're changing your uniform and you're getting like 5% of that money.
Yeah, yeah, fuck that
You'd be
shit.
Like, what?
Yeah, I don't agree. That's not my contract.
Yeah, that's
I don't
not
agree.
My contract. Fuck off.
Yeah.
So this is where this whole argument comes up again. So Verdum, I can appreciate the frustration of it, but the fact that he's working, he's commentating, he's doing that, what did he think was going to come out of it by saying
Yeah, I think the unpopular thing that I think we're both thinking is, I don't blame the UFC in a way for doing what they've
done.
Well,
you can't have someone who speaks on behalf of the UFC in a commentary position slaying their number one sponsor.
Now, it's different if he come out and said, like what Verdum said, I think the quote was something like, I've been Nike all my life, Reebok suck my balls, something like that.
Yeah.
It's different if he said, I disagree with the Reebok sponsorship.
Yeah.
And I think it could be done better. Something like that. That's censorship. Then you're saying, okay, you know, that's not allowing anybody to talk about anything. But what he said is just a bit ridiculous. He can't say that. And the UFC are perfectly within their rights to...
100%, yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, like, we spoke about the Reebok
completely
thing.
Screwed. Fighters have been completely screwed by it. But, you know, you have to... Like, you couldn't turn around about your job and post something.
It's just common sense, and your
boss sees it. You're going to be reprimanded.
Yeah, it's
so just because he's a fighter, yes, it's, you know, you're self-employed, I suppose. You are a fighter, but you're not. You work for a company. You work for a promotion.
Yeah.
So you have to be seen to be green to that promotion. You can't be talking shit about his number one sponsor. Yeah. Like, so regrettable. I can appreciate his anger, but at the same time, be smart.
Exactly, be smart.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. Suck his balls. So that sort of sums up everything that happened this week, really. Like I said, we're a little different this week. We sort of broke things down. We sort of just done the quick fire headlines and just went with them and just spoke about everything. So as usual, hit us up on the social medias. On Twitter, we're at @talk_fight for all our ramblings on the social media. You can find us there, or we're obviously Fight Talk, obviously, on Facebook, Instagram. Check us out on YouTube if you want to watch the shows and look at Rob's beauty, or if you want to hear Carl's profanity, you can check us out. We're always available on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Android,
everywhere.
If it has stuff that you can listen on, we're on it. We'd like to thank the beautiful Whiskey Fair as always. MMAMix.com for all your MMA news. Check them out, they're obviously good because they're with obviously Fight Talk. And then what's the other ones? Fight Star Ireland for the fighter's choice for all your fighter needs in one place. Check them out. Also check out Fight Star Media. They have all the fights up from Cage Legacy as well. So check them out. Definitely check out the main event with Decky Dong.
I'll be going there later.
Absolute quality.
View and quality.
So from us, obviously, Fight Talk. Enjoy your Halloween. Hope you bought your bangers off, Max Holloway. Dublin, take it easy, Rob Sayer. Good afternoons.
Good afternoons.
And we'll see you next week. And hopefully the Four Horsemen will be back. So Fedor, Fedor. This means Fedor.